Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Please, Yes, Sir, Thank You. I'm kind of old school. I don't know if it was just the way, I think it was the way I was raised. I was at a concession the other day at a ball game, some girls in there, probably in their 30s, and they handed me what I wanted, and I said, thank you, ma'am, and I was saying, yes, ma'am, and they said, you know, you don't have to say yes, ma'am, like they didn't want to be treated like they were old people, right? I said, look, this isn't an old thing. I said, you're women. I said, if you ask my girls, I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to my own daughters, and hopefully to my wife. I think they'd attest to this. You know, but you say, well, why do you do that? It's the right thing to do. And we want kids to be saying, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir, please, all these things. If you don't say it, why do you think they're not going to say it? They don't hear it. You repeat things you hear. So we say as parents, you know, something happens to your kids, say, now, what do you say, right? And what do we mean when we say, what do you say? You say, please, or what do you say? You say, thank you. These seem like no-brainer things, but it's the same way with God. And there's a point at which you say, well, what do you say? Like the Holy Spirit prompting you, and we never can get this stuff out. Turn to Luke chapter 17. And by the way, just for while you're turning there, why do you think it is that we say please? If you go back and look at the etymology of this word please, it kind of goes back to a shortening for if it please you. So in other words, please do such and such. In other words, if it please you. When we go to God, for instance, and ask God for something, you would hope that you would include please in the thing. And depending on how desperate you are, it's either implicit, as we'll see in a minute in the scriptures, that a please is implicit in a lot of the requests in scripture. But a part of what you're asking, hopefully without even knowing you're asking this, is if it's your will, if it's according to your will, if it pleases you, God, please do this. So you go to someone and say, please help me with this. You know, if that's something that pleases you, you'd be okay with doing that, then help me. Now jump in here in this story in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, and move through there. And I'm going to go New Testament. We'll do maybe a couple in the Old Testament. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, find the table of contents in the front. I can tell you up front, we're going to go to Leviticus and 2 Kings, probably the only ones over there, and the rest of them should be easy in the New Testament. Luke 17, 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. A Jew, just right here on this verse, let me put this out here. A Jew would do anything not to go through Samaria. They went completely around this area to not have to do anything with Samaritans, okay? But he went through Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. So these 10 men, lepers, together, stayed away, and we'll see in a minute, you can go read in Leviticus, we'll read some of this. They stayed away, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I'm saying implicit here is, please help us. Please have mercy on us. You got to do something. At some point, you got to believe Jesus is who he says he is and who they call him, Jesus, Master. Why would you scream out to Jesus, have mercy on you, if you don't think he can do anything for you? You're not going to call on Jesus if he's nobody, because he can't do anything for you. So when somebody calls out the name of Jesus, it's a powerful thing, but you can't just be some name you scream out. You have to believe something, and they believed, have mercy on us, I think implicit here as well, is they knew he could do something. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now that doesn't make any sense. I've cried out, have mercy. And Jesus responds, and what he says is, go show yourself to the priests. I don't want to go show myself to the priests. I just want to be fixed. I just want you to do something already. But oddly enough, they do what he says. Now look what happens. So it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now this is a huge deal. I'm going to read you this story. I'm going to read you another one out of 2 Kings. And please, I'll try to say what I'm going to say here in just a minute so you don't miss this. God may be trying to get you to do something that you think is completely asinine, basically. something that is completely foolish, something that really has nothing to do with what you asked for. You say, well, how does this work? It doesn't have anything to do with what I asked. It has everything to do with what you asked. It's just God has answers and you have to go with the answer. You say, well, I want to be first in life. Then you're going to be last. I want to be served. No, you serve. You just look at what the world says and does and flip it on its, you know, upside down, and there's the God answer. It's usually backwards from what the world's trying to tell you. All the sex you can have? No. One partner for life. That's what works. Ask Wilt Chamberlain. His way didn't work. I think he even admitted to that. It didn't work. 10,000 women, whatever it was. What is that? It's a complete waste. So he says to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, what's crazy is these guys, and I read up on leprosy trying to figure this out. My mom and dad, missionaries in Brazil, went to leper colonies where people, you know, you think, well, their arms just fall off or their bodies and fingers fall off. They don't just fall off. You've been watching too many zombie movies, but the cartilage deteriorates or certain things that happen and the limbs can be shortened, the extremities, the fingers, or things that can, I mean, it can be devastating. You don't want leprosy. You're going to get rejected just on that. And on top of being lepers, these guys were Samaritans. Double rejection. And yet, even being completely rejected, they're still crying out because they thought there might be a chance Jesus would do something for them. So he does something. He says, go to the priest. You think, well, he didn't want to touch him. He doesn't want to be near him. I'll read you a story in a minute where he touches a leper. So it's not about that. He gives them instruction, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so, and I don't get this stuff. I mean, it really, you think it's just special effects or something. You say, well, why don't I ever see miracles like this? You do. If you, now listen really close. If you are a Christian, and it has been a mess ever since, still a mess, but there is gradual, consistent change that happens. And it is literally as you are going, you are being healed. And if you stop and think about it, you look at your life and go, I am not who I used to be. So if you're looking for some miracle, look in the mirror. You are a walking, talking miracle, because if you are not who you were, then only God could have changed that, right? So this guy's literally on the way to the priest, these 10 guys, and as they're going, if you have leprosy, it's usually a skin thing. They look down and go, my God, literally, it's going away. It's gone. That would completely freak you out, especially when you tie it to, I called out, I said, God, please help me. He gave me instruction. I obeyed. On my way, I realize it's happened. I got to go find him. This is what is so perplexing, I think, to God and to me, anybody, is that when something happens for you, that you don't go back. You know, you say, please help me. He gives you instruction. You say, yes, sir. And then the thank you never comes. What do you think worship is about? In some ways, gathering and singing and praising and glorifying God, all these words we use, is just a big church cosmic thank you, God. And some people walk away and go, oh, cool, I'm all well now. I don't need them. I don't need that. I'm out of here. Until some other calamitous thing happens, which is usually what it takes to get our attention and bring us back. How many of you went to church at some point in your life, screwed up in some way, took a wrong turn, took off, and now you're back? You got out there thinking, I'm good. And you knew you weren't, but oh, well, things are okay. I've got a job. I got some money. I'm having a good time. And then, boom, it caves in either all at once or gradually. And you're like, I can't do this by myself. Just stay home. Why do you have to go off on these trips? Literally trips in some people's cases. As they're going, they're cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God. You say, oh, would he come up? Oh, master, thank you. You know, like in some little simple, like, of course, he's screaming. Holy cow. Well, that'd be more in India. But, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. One of them, he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, here's what I'd like you to think about. Think about something that has happened in your life where if God did not come through, if he did not intervene, you cried out for help, he told you what to do, you obeyed, and you went back and you found yourself saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. I can think, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I can tell you what it was, what it is. And when God shows up in that way, It will knock you to his feet, and you will find yourself completely overwhelmed, thanking him for doing what it is you asked him to do. Right? You say, well, I've never had that experience. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't die first, you probably will. If you don't yield to his will, you're going to have an opportunity to be in a situation where you have to cry out for his help and say, please help me, God. And he's going to give you instruction. You may not like it. It may not make sense, but you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And if you say yes, sir, remember to go back and say thank you, because he comes through. He comes through. I was going, we moved again recently, and I somehow ended up with a box of pictures in my office instead of at the new house. And I started going through this box of pictures. And for some reason, it was when I was in seminary, pictures with me and an old girlfriend, sweet girl, tried to marry her. She wasn't the right one. She wasn't my wife. My kids are grateful I didn't marry her, because they wouldn't exist. I saw pictures of Rebecca and I when we first met and got married, and how long I waited to find the right person, and how many girls I tried to marry on the way, because I got impatient. I was tired of waiting on God to show up, and I'd jump in and, no, we can make this work. And when you look at your life, even in pictures, and you say, well, it hasn't all gone well, but sometimes you survive the pictures. Some of you got new pictures that are proof that he comes through. So I'm grateful to God for the simple things, but the big things, because usually the simple things are the biggest things, health and strength and finding someone to share your life with. It's just intense stuff. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, how would Jesus know that there were 10 cleansed when he didn't even stay with them? He sent him off someplace, because Jesus knows what he's done, whether you come back to him or not. He knows what you got. He knows what happened, because he made it happen. And the perplexity is, you asked for help. I told you what to do. You got your help. Now, why is only 1 out of 10 back here thanking me? Very interesting. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Literally calls him a foreigner. Samaritan. Only this Samaritan comes back to thank me. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You believed. Now, before I go to the next story, let me ask you what it is, if you had to come up with one thing that you know, if you stop and think about it, you really need God to show up on. And you've maybe not even prayed about this yet, but you know you're either in trouble or it's a big issue in your life, and you find yourself either about to or you have been saying, God, I'm asking you, please have mercy and do this for me. Have you got that? Has he given you any instruction that you don't like? You say, well, what could that be? Let's go back to the relationship thing. You say, oh God, please, I want someone to share my life with. And the answer comes back, break up with the person you're dating. You say, no, that's not what I wanted to hear. I want peace about this relationship. He says, no, that's not right. That's not the answer. You say, well, I don't want to do that. The answer is not yes, sir. The answer is no, sir. And then you end up with a mess. And you say, oh God, why did you do this to me? It is not his fault. Now go to 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'll try to read this fast. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. What if you got a letter like that? Hey, I sent a guy who's sick, you heal him. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go, and this is the message. Okay, so this guy, the king can't do it. Go to Elisha, goes to Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even come out and speak to the guy. This is a powerful man who has come looking for help, comes in, tells him what's up. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying this, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Not the answer he's looking for. Look at what happens. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely, this is what Naaman was expecting. Be careful with what you are expecting God to do. It may not be at all what you are thinking is supposed to happen. You got to listen for his answer, not your answer. I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand. And look what he thought was going to happen. He'll come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. That's what he thought was going to be some kind of healing service. Oh God, wave his hand over the place. Oh God, heal his leprosy. So his expectation was completely wrong. And then he goes on and says, are not the Abanon, the Parfar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? I could have done that in my own river. I didn't have to come over here. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So if something great you would have done, then do the simple thing. Now listen to me before I finish this. Do the simple thing. Guy stands up here the other day and says he's quitting Jack Daniels. And he quits Jack Daniels. Now, did it just go away? I've talked to him a little bit. I'm not sure. Did the urge, the desire for drinking Jack, what God told him to do? Great. So you say, well, I quit Jack Daniels. Well, then why you got a bottle in your car? Oh, well, you know, a friend might get in and need some. And you go to your house, you go, wow, you got a whole case, you know, you got old boxes full. Why do you need this? You quit. Oh, in case somebody comes over. You know what? If you quit, you get it away from you. Amen. Simple things. Well, but what if I decide to backslide? I don't have to leave the house or anything, you know. Simple things. It's not this complicated. The reason we don't do simple things is we don't want to change. We do not want to repent. So we, oh yeah, it's terrible, but I'm going to keep my blankie right here close by. You say, well, whatever, dude. You think this is all funny and we got real problems. And I say, you know, if you've got real problems, then acknowledge that. Please help me, God. Yes, sir, to whatever he says. Thank him and let's keep moving. And if nothing's changing, it's probably because you're not changing. We're not changing our behavior. We're not willing to do what he says. You say, well, I can do what I want to. Yeah, you can, but you are not prepared for the consequences. Because if you keep pushing it and leave in a rage, how many people hear what God tells them to do? Well, you can't talk to me that way. It's none of your blankety blank business what I'm doing and I can run my own life. Okay, great. How's that been working out for you so far? Not so good. So this guy's angry in a rage. He leaves in a huff. They say, what if he had told you something great? You would have done that. So look what happens. How much more than what he says, wash and be clean. Verse 14, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. So he finally goes, okay, right, let's go do what he said. Let's see what happens. Then here's the question. What have I got to lose? Ask yourself that question. If I don't do what God has instructed me to do, what have I got to lose? You know what you got to lose? Your health, your sanity, your life, maybe eternity we'll see in a minute. Eternity with God at least. You got a lot to lose. There's nothing at stake here but your life. So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Why? He obeyed. Then what happens? And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord gives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Go home and read the rest of that story, because some Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, got greedy and ended up with the leprosy that Naaman had. I don't have time to read it. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is, you want God's help, or you wouldn't be listening this long. Certainly, if you've been listening out there beyond here, you can turn it off, you can be done with it, but you're still listening. You want God's help. He is willing to help you. It may not be the way you thought it was going to come about. It may be painful. It may be foolishness. Just obey and do it. And then when you see that he's come through and done what you asked him to do, the way he did it, then go back and just say thank you. I'll spend the rest of my life telling God, thank you. Because if he never does another thing for me, he's done so much for me already. There's no way I'd run out of something to say thank you for. I read this before. Listen to this. A soldier in the American Third Army was sent to a rest camp after a period of active service. When he returned to his outfit, he wrote a letter to General George Patton and thanked him for the splendid care he had received. General Patton wrote back that for 35 years, he had sought to give all the comfort and convenience he could to his men, and added that this was the first letter of thanks he had received in all his years in the Army. And God sits on his throne and changes our world, and we can't get out of thank you. We don't go back. We don't worship. You know why you get so far from God after he miraculously changes your life? Because you don't go back and worship. You don't go back and thank him. You don't stay in the game.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now let me tell you the craziest thing in the world that God ever asked anybody to do when they cried out for his help. You say, God, save me. I'm screwed up. I'm lost. If I die without you, I'll end up in eternity separated from you in a real hell. Save me. And he says, okay, here's what you do. Believe that Jesus died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead. You believe that crazy story, your whole life will be changed. You'll have abundant and eternal life. Believe it. We go, no, you don't understand. I don't want to do that. Doesn't make any sense. I'll be a nice person. I'll give money to charity. I'll help old ladies across the street, but I'm not going for this Jesus thing. How many people will end up in hell because they couldn't just dip in the river seven times? They wouldn't just say, okay, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead and I want to be saved. That's the only way you're going to get it. And the Bible says that the preaching of that message, the gospel, is foolishness to those who are perishing. In other words, those people who are dying because they won't do what he says to do. But to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And your whole life can be changed by some crazy story. And I'm telling you straight up, it is a crazy story. Some guy dies on a cross. They bury him. He's raised. The whole thing's nuts. Born of a virgin, that's impossible. It's all impossible. You know why my life has changed? Because I believe that crazy story. And some guy named Jesus shed his blood, which nobody wants to talk about anymore, because his blood was sacrificed, shed on that cross in my place. Now I've got forgiveness of sins, and I'm thankful for that, because I don't want to die carrying that load that I had or any load I'm going to have, because I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need grace. I cannot do it by myself. I can't take the sin on myself. I can't pay for that. I can't deal with life by myself. You say, well, you're just weak. You are absolutely right. But when I am weak, he is strong, and his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so I come to him, and should if I don't, every day, and say, Father, please have mercy, because without you, I cannot do this day. And he gives me instruction. I read his word, and he tells me crazy stuff in this book. And I go, that's great. In everything, give thanks. When Claude told me that, that was the craziest thing I had ever heard. I am not thanking God in everything. And then I started doing that and it worked.
Just read your Bible, and when he says something, do it. And when you see it change your life and it works, then go back and say, thank you, Lord, that worked. What else you got? And then your life just starts changing and he starts using you. You go, wow, this is how it was supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is what life is about. I find my purpose, my meaning. It's unbelievable. Instead of just slamming your head against the same old wall the rest of your life.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.